This is the time of year when a lot of people start to make excuses. People will look back at the beginning of 2012 or the end of 2011 and they will say, I had this resolution to do this. I wanted to lose weight. I wanted to spend less time at work. Many times they have good resolutions. And as people come to the end of a year and they look back at the good ideas that they had, the resolutions that they had, and they see the failures that they had, and sometimes that's not always something that they can control, oftentimes they engage in excuse making. The person that we know as Moses, the person that we've studied about for the past several Sunday nights, was not exempt from making excuses. Tonight we want to continue our study with the Old Testament. We turn to Exodus chapter 3. And it is in this chapter that we find some of the excuses that were made by Moses. Now last Sunday night, if you were here, we studied about how God got Moses' attention with the burning bush. After Moses learned that God's presence was there in the burning bush, Exodus 3 verse 6 tells us that he was afraid. He was scared. Moses also learned, he soon learned, how God, Exodus 3:10, intended for him to go back and see Pharaoh. When Moses heard about God's plan for him to be the deliverer, for him to lead the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, he was not very enthused. In fact, rather than be excited about this task, this assignment, Moses began to make excuses. If you turn back to the third chapter of Exodus, let's start with verse 11. And Moses said unto God, Who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses, as he looked at God's plan for his life, at least at this stage, he did not see himself as the deliverer that God saw himself as. Information about God's patience is something that we want to study 2 weeks from tonight. And we have information about patience as well as some more excuses from Moses in Exodus 3, verse 12, going into the fourth chapter, verse 1, and then we'll also look at Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, beginning with the 12th verse in Exodus 3. And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be the token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Sounds like another excuse. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, Jehovah, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, Jehovah, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, hath appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done unto you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, Jehovah, the God of the Hebrews, hath met with us. And now let us go. We pray thee 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to Jehovah our God. And God said, And I know that the king of Egypt will not give leave unto you. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will put forth my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give you this, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, ye shall not go out empty. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in a house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold, and raiment or clothing. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall despoil the Egyptians. And then the first verse of chapter 4, and Moses answered, comes back to another excuse. Moses answered, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, Jehovah hath not appeared unto thee. And then in verse 10, and Moses said unto Jehovah, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Moses may not have felt like he was very eloquent, but it seems to me he was not short on words. He had a lot to say, including some excuses. Now Moses, as we look at the excuses that he offered on this occasion, he's not someone to be singled out. We find that many other Bible characters have offered excuses. Here are a few. Is it not true that the first couple, Adam and Eve, offered some excuses? It is, if we go back to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, verse 12, Adam blamed Eve. It's that woman. And then as we look at the third chapter, we find Eve, she blamed that serpent. Genesis 3, verse 13, the next verse. We think about Lot. Also in the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verse 19, he was told to flee to the mountain. And he said, that's not a good idea. He had some excuses about why that was something that he shouldn't do. Exodus 32, that we've recently studied on some Wednesday evenings. You have there, of course, Moses is on the mountain. Aaron decides that, it's okay to go ahead and create this golden calf. And when he's asked about that, he offers some excuses. Most of the spies, Numbers chapter 13, verses 31 through 33, they were sent into the promised land. And they came back with an evil report. They're mighty over there. They're big folks. We can't go in there and take it. They had some excuses. When Samuel was told, when he was old, the people of Israel offered an excuse regarding why they should have an earthly king. A study of the Old Testament shows us that God's people and others often used excuses. This problem was so bad that Solomon, the wise man, even talked about excuses. A well-known passage in the book of Proverbs is found in the 22nd chapter. Proverbs 22, verse 13, is where Solomon describes a lazy man. Solomon says this lazy man, and he's presumably talking about someone who needs to go outside and work. But he says the lazy man says, I'm not going to go outside. Can't go outside because there might be a lion out there. Well, the chance of that certainly is very improbable, but as the old saying goes, one excuse is as good as another. So Solomon said that's what the lazy man is going to do. He's going to offer some kind of excuse. Now we find today people offering excuses just as they did in biblical times for many, many reasons. Sometimes people excuse things because they're lazy. In other circumstances, a person might offer an excuse because of peer pressure or fear. Back in Exodus 3, where we started, it seems that Moses was somewhat apprehensive. So we have God, as we read through that third chapter in Exodus into Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, God consoles him. In Exodus 3, verse 12, God reassures him and says, I'm going to be with you. It's going to be okay. You don't need the excuses. Now, all the excuses that we begin to see described in the Old Testament should make us wonder about something. If people are so plagued by the problem of excuses, one would be inclined to think that Jesus, in his ministry, probably would have at some point touched on this very topic. So as we look at the New Testament, do we find in the life of Christ some information about excuses at any time during Jesus' teaching? Yes, we do. We're going to start as far as our New Testament material with some information in Luke 11. Now, in Luke 11, if you look at the context, you find that Jesus was asked to do some teaching about prayer. And he agreed to do this teaching. He agreed to this request. In presenting this teaching, he gave a story that's pretty well known. He talks about a man, a household that had a late night visitor, a friend showed up. And as this late night visitor showed up at this friend's house or his friend's house, the friend realized that he didn't have any bread in his house. So the guest goes over to a neighbor's house. It's about midnight. And the fellow who has the visitor is asking the neighbor for some assistance. Here's what we find in Luke chapter 11, starting with verse 5 and reading down through verse 8. And he said unto him, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I can't arise and give thee, anything to eat. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will arise and give him as many as he needs. Now, midnight is not generally a convenient time to help people. Today, as we look at our lives, there are still times when it is very, very inconvenient to help someone. And it's tempting when those inconvenient times arise to say, well, let somebody else do it. I'm too busy, my schedule is full, whatever it is. But when those times come, and they do come for each one of us, when those occasions do come, God warns us. He says, be careful, be cautious about offering an excuse. Now, in our day and time, when we think about excuses, a person may want help with a project when it's hot. And we can say, well, it's kind of hot for that. Or another person may want to, for example, move, and it's cold. Some of us have helped some people move when it was cold, below freezing. And that's not a pleasant time. Slipping and sliding on the snow and the ice, but a person, for whatever reason, maybe they need to vacate a house. Maybe their apartment lease is up and they need to go somewhere else, and they say, we need some assistance. Not convenient. Maybe not safe for us. But they say, I need some help. Will you offer your aid to me? Others will sometimes say, I need assistance during this particular time of the day. And for us, later in the day might be convenient. But for the time that they specify, it's not very convenient. We may be asked to help when we're tired. It'd be nice if when people ask for our assistance, if we always just felt full of vigor and energy. But sometimes people say, we need some assistance. And we're already tired. We've worked a full day. Our schedule's been full for the week. Before we say no, and there can be some times where it's right to say no. We're not making that point tonight. We're not alleging that idea. But before we say no, it's good to think back to the story that we find in Luke chapter 11. Somebody knew that I was going to preach this tonight, and he said, hey, you're meddling. So I think he said that jokingly. I'm sure he said that jokingly. But there also, I think, with that comment, needs to be this point added to it. It is a topic which is a biblical topic, and it's a serious topic. And it applies to preachers just as much as everyone else. We see how widespread the problem is in the Old Testament, and now we find that even Jesus deals with it. In all of our lives, we're going to find some times that come up where it's inconvenient to help someone or inconvenient to help with something. And yet, as inconvenient as that is, we really need to look at the circumstances and say, is this just inconvenient or is this something that I should really let others do? I would also like to suggest that our world is very good at making excuses when it comes to things that are inconvenient. If it's convenient, the world will often say, oh, sure, I have time. I have the resources, and I'm glad to help. And that's a good thing. But Christians should be better than the world. We should say, my resources, that might stretch me a little further than I typically am stretched. It might take some things that normally I do not have access to, but I will do my very best. Now, Jesus knew that people are very good at making excuses. So he dealt with this topic on another occasion as well. Beyond what we have in Luke chapter 11, if we flip over a few chapters to Luke chapter 14, we have another of Jesus' teachings, different, but it still deals with this same topic. And you kind of get two for one back in Luke 11 as far as excuses and prayer. But here in Luke 14, we have some specific information about excuses. In this chapter, Jesus talks about a situation where someone has made a great supper. And in addition to making this great supper, this person invites many. Several months ago, when we were looking at this particular passage in a Bible class, I compared it to a holiday meal, a big holiday festival. Imagine, if you will, during this time of year, Thanksgiving, Christmas, a person decides that they're going to make a big meal, a great meal. And they, with the plans, decide that they're going to invite a lot of people. And they do. And as the invitations are sent out, come to our Thanksgiving meal, come to our holiday, our Christmas party. We're going to have great food. We're going to have lots of food. It's going to be a wonderful time. And the people who are invited, they say, we're going to come. We're looking forward to being there, and you can count on us. You put us down as far as the attendees. And after this family has gone to all the time, all the trouble, all the expense to prepare the food, and I mean it's not long before the food's going to be served, steaming on the table, the phone calls start rolling in. First family calls up and says, well, we were going to come. We promised to come, and we are so sorry, but we're not going to be able to make it. Well, that can happen sometimes. And then the phone rings again, and another family says, well, we had plans too. We know that we promised several months in advance, but we're going to go out car shopping today. There's a big sale on cars. Another family says, well, they have a special sale down at the local Walmart, and it's Christmas time, so we're going to go down and shop for some special Christmas gifts. And all kinds of people begin to cancel out. In fact, maybe nobody comes. Were that to happen to us, even some Christians, I venture to say that a lot of people would be fuming. Not only would they be fuming, if holiday time comes around next year and people decide to have another meal, they're going to say, we're not going to invite them. We went to all the time, trouble, work, and expense last year, and they, at the last minute, said, we're not going to come. Well, what was just described is not very far from what Jesus tells us about in Luke chapter 14. If you've turned back to Luke 14, verses 26 through 27, let's start with the 16th verse and read down through verse 20. We'll just look at part of the material. But he said unto them, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. And he sent forth his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make, here's our word, excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a field, and I must needs go out and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Now in verse 19, and another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore, I cannot come. Notice from verse 17, all things were ready. Today, sometimes people offer an excuse, and maybe there's some legitimacy here, but people will offer an excuse based on the fact that someone has not done everything that needs to be done. Well, we would have come, we would have helped, we would have offered our assistance, but they weren't ready. Another person might say, well, yes, we would have gone, but people still have some things to accomplish. So we'll get ready and we'll come when all things are ready. We would have come, but they just didn't have all the supplies that they needed. When it comes to the spiritual realm, we can't make that kind of excuse. The Bible says all things are ready. We think about 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, God's given us the scriptures. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:17, the end of the verse, that the scriptures furnish us completely unto every good work. When it comes to spiritual things, God has not provided a single, he's not failed to provide a single thing that we need. Peter made a similar point in 2 Peter 1:3. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Yet as we look at Luke chapter 14, we find that people, sometimes God's people, make excuses. And the excuses that we find in Luke 14 are often the very kinds of excuses that people use today. In verses 18 and 19, if we were to describe what we have here, we would say that Jesus alluded to economic and material excuses. There was one fellow, he said, I bought a field, and I need to go out and inspect it. The next man said, well, I have some new oxen, and I need to go out and see how well they're going to work, how well they're going to plow. Today, people still make excuses based on material and economic things. I've heard people make excuses in the spiritual realm because they don't have enough money. That may be one of the most popular excuses that's made. I've even had people say, well, I would like to come to worship, but I don't have the right clothes. I don't have church clothes. I've always been a little puzzled what that means. What are church clothes? Never found that, you know, information in the Bible, never found that description in the Bible. If church clothes describe clothing that's worth thousands of dollars for a dress or a suit, I don't have church clothes. And probably most that are in this assembly tonight do not have church clothes. In James 2, verse 15, we read about naked people. Naked people. Now, the naked people in James 2:15 are a lot not literally nude. The word naked in James 2:15 is the same word that's used by Jesus in Matthew 25:36, where he talks about clothing the naked. The naked, of course, are those that have inadequate or improper clothing. Winter's coming. And as we look at this time of year, we find that there are some people who are inadequately clothed. There are some people, occasionally, we don't see them too often in this part of the country, but maybe all they have for winter clothing would be a t-shirt, thin pants, no jacket. Or the jacket is maybe a spring jacket. They're naked in the sense of James 2:15. People need clothing that covers their body sufficiently, warmly, in the winter months. If we let fashion and price dictate our attendance at worship, and there are some people who do that, we have an excuse. We're relying on an excuse, and that's not right. Inexpensive or unattractive clothing is often used as an excuse, but that's not a reason to avoid doing God's will. Others say, well, yes, thinking about material and economic things. Others would say, well, I'd like to come to services, but my car is too old. I mean, it's a rust bucket. Muffler's gone, and I'm just embarrassed to show up at your religious group because of the vehicle that I drive. I think I've used this illustration once before, but I'm going to tell you about it again. Teresa and I, when we were married, we owned a 79 pickup. And this pickup dieseled. Now, if you're not familiar with a vehicle that diesels, that simply means that you try to shut the vehicle off and then it continues to try to turn back on. And this dieseling was bad. When it dieseled, and it seemed like it was always Sunday morning when the thing dieseled, it spasmed. If you've ever seen a person have a seizure, that's what a truck did when you tried to shut it off. I mean, it would rock, it would shake, and I mean, it looked like it was just going to collapse right there on the pavement. Now, that's embarrassing, especially when you got some brethren coming over and knocking on the window. Hey, is everything okay? Your truck's shaking. Why does it rock like that? Well, I'm probably old enough now to get through that experience without being too embarrassed, but you're young, and that kind of thing is really humiliating. Now, we could have said, we've got a truck that rocks and rolls, and we're embarrassed by that. We're not going to show up. We've got an excuse. We came 30 minutes early. And when that truck dieseled, if you can think back to the late 70s when cars had some room inside them to work, I crawled inside the hood in the engine compartment and shut the thing down. Now, didn't prefer to have people see me do that. But we were not going to let that dieseling problem keep us from worshiping God. Could have used an excuse, but we said no. That's simply not going to be the way that we operate. Economic and material excuses are often used, Luke 14. But Jesus said, it's not going to work with God. Another excuse in Luke 14 is based on family. A fellow said, I've married a wife, and I'm not going to be able to come to the party. Today, as we look at our society, there are still people who use family and the things that are associated with family to excuse some lack of involvement in the Christian life. There are some wives who use their husbands as an excuse. and vice versa. And that's not right, to use a spouse as an excuse to not serve God. We find sometimes children using parents, or maybe it's the parent who uses a child as an excuse. Non-essential school activities have sometimes been used as an excuse to get out of doing some things that a person should do in the Christian life. We find sometimes that family gatherings have been elevated above Christ. As a preacher, I have always found over the years Christmas to be an interesting time, especially when it comes on Sunday. When Christmas, in fact, it's been a long time ago, but I had a person, a member of the church, one time say, "Well, Christmas is on Sunday. Have you seen that?" "Yeah." "What's going to happen?" I said, "Well, I plan to show up. What about you?" When it comes to Christmas on Sunday, what are people going to choose? Sure, there's some Christmas activities that might be impeded if we still fulfill our worship to God, but which one is going to win? Is it going to be the Lord and worship, or is it going to be some extra Christmas fun? We can excuse not coming, but we make a choice. When people make excuses, what is said is often just like Jesus described in Luke 14. As we look at the people and the excuses that they offer, they were nice. They were polite. "Oh, I pray have me excused." They weren't hostile. They weren't hateful. They weren't mean. They did offer some notification. And today, many of the excuses that people offer are still polite. "Oh, they're extra polite. Well, we'd like to come. And we have plans to come. We'd like to come next time," and so forth. We, when we think about excuses, need to make some choices that are wise and right. People are generally not pleased when excuses are offered. And again, we're not talking about legitimate situations that arise and people can't come because the car conked out or someone's sick, those kinds of things. There are things in life that happen. But then there are also excuses in the sense that we're talking about tonight. We, as we think back to where we started, Exodus 3, Moses didn't get very far with the excuses that he offered to God. And this pattern that we see with Moses is consistent as we come through the rest of the New Testament. Since the making of excuses is often a problem for people, even those who seek to be God's people, what are some of the steps that we can take to be sure that we try to avoid making excuses in our lives? Well, one practical point comes from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 24, verse 25. You may remember, and this is a fairly well-known text, we have some information about Felix. This official received some information from the Apostle Paul. And as he received that information, the Bible tells us it deeply affected him. Luke tells us that this man trembled. He shook because of what this preacher told him. Felix then said to Paul, "You go. You leave me for this present time, and you come back at a more convenient time." Many have wondered whether or not that more convenient time ever came. We don't know. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But we do know that today, a more convenient time often doesn't come for people. We think, well, and we excuse this because we're too busy, or there's this, or there's that, and we think a more convenient time will come, and I'll do this or that when that day comes. When it comes to living the Christian life, very few things are going to be convenient. That's just going to be a fact of life. Some of our upcoming Sundays, especially our Sunday mornings, are not going to be very convenient. As we think about the snow that's probably going to be in our forecast, pretty soon we have to break out extra clothing. And that's not convenient. We think, as we consider our Sunday morning assemblies, that we're going to have to probably get up earlier and plow some weekend snow that we normally would go ahead and probably deal with at a later time in the day. But God's people are willing to be inconvenienced. They try to seek excuses because they know that life is short. In the grand scheme of things, we're not here for very long. So when we have opportunities, rather than excuse things that we could and should do, we try to take advantage of them. James reminds us in James 4, verse 14, that life is short. The wise man, Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, said, "Fear God, keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man, and a time is going to come when God will bring every work into judgment." When God looks at the lives of people at the end of time, one of the things that's going to be evident will be a lot of excuses. Many will seek to excuse their lack of faith, their poor commitment, or something else. We often look at Matthew 25 and think about the sheep and the goats, where Jesus talks about, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then, of course, at the end of this chapter, he talks about the people who are going to be sent away into eternal punishment. If you look carefully at the final three verses in this chapter, you find what I believe to be some implied excuses. There will be people, many people at the end of time, who will say to Jesus, "Oh Lord, when did we see you hungry? Jesus, when did we see you sick? When did we see you in prison?" It seems that these people are going to be justifying or trying to justify their lack of help by saying, "Oh, we just didn't see you." That's going to be their excuse at the end of time. Many will try to say that their lack of knowledge should excuse their lack of service. But when we look at Matthew 25, we find out that that's not going to work. The Lord will say to those people, "Depart from me, ye cursed. into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. There's a record. This is being kept of our lives, Revelation 20, verse 12. And that record is also going to include the excuses that people offered. God knows whether people really seek to help those when it's convenient, or if they rely when it's not convenient, or rely on excuses. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, though, Matthew 5, verse 6, try to limit or restrict the excuses that are offered in their lives. When it comes to the Christian life, we really have two choices. Choice number one is to live the best Christian life that we can, and when times come up where we want to excuse something, we try to, as I said, limit or restrict those times. Then the option that is not the right choice is to say, well, there's this and there's that, and let someone else do it. We excuse our lack of participation. We are about ready to start a new year. And a lot of people, maybe some of us, are going to make some New Year's resolutions. As we think about the new year, let's think about excuses. And as those times come up, rather than say, well, yes, I know I could do that, but there is this going on in my life, so I'm going to let that go for this time or that time. Somebody else can do it, and maybe next year I'll get it. Remember Luke 11. Remember Luke 14. And think about Moses. Think about the right choice. Tonight, we hope that if you're a Christian, you're seeking to live the right kind of life. A life that pleases God, a life that tries to limit and restrict excuses. And if that's the choice that you've made, that's a good choice. It's the right choice. It's a choice that leads to life. And we trust that as we end this year, if the Lord wills and 2013 comes for us, we'll continue to make the right choices. But if you're here and you're not yet a Christian, maybe there are some excuses that you've relied on in the past. Oh, all those hypocrites in the church. Or I'm young and I have a lot of time. Or I just don't know all I need to know. Tonight, if you've been relying on excuses to live the non-Christian life, or maybe even relying on excuses to live a Christian life that's not the kind of life that God wants, will you not have the courage to say no to the excuses? I'm committed, as we talked about this morning in the lesson, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, even though none go with me. Will you commit to a life of trying to restrict and limit excuses? If we can help you make that choice by either becoming a Christian or strengthening you as a Christian, will you let us know as we stand and sing the selected song?